lidi pap pa di 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 pip 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 pap di pap pap pa di lidi pap pap di pap pip pap pap pap. Hey everybody,
this is the Ramble live from Harlem in New York City, and we go until midnight tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, there he is. I should reintroduce him because a lot of people, maybe on the late show here, don't know him. That's Mike Chisholm. He is the proprietor of the Letterman podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Among other things, but well before that, I started on the Monday show because of that man right there.
Mm-hmm.
I love having a relationship with you, but. The most paramount reason that it's so precious to me now is because, being friends with you keeps my relationship with Rick alive. I don't know how many people think about Rick every single day.
We're talking about Rick Sheckman, by the way, in case
people
don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how many people think about him every single day. I know you're one of them. I know I'm one of them. So I think it makes sense for us to continue a dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of him continually. Mm-hmm. You know, he was part of my life for, you know, over 45 years. So anyway, it's been how many years now since he went? It's got to be about three now, right?
It'll be 2 years on March 10th.
2 years.
On March 10th, it'll be 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, I remember the last time I saw him. You know, you don't want to. Somehow you really don't want to go to the hospital. If somebody's in a coma, they're not going to know you're there.
Yeah.
Okay? First of all. And secondly, it wouldn't just be nice if you could remember them as a vital human being rather than lying there in a coma with tubes up there in their mouths and, you know, stuff stuck in their veins and things, pressure going... You know, and all of that. I mean, I remember sitting there with, I think it was with this Steve Weiner.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there watching him as he's in the bed, basically not knowing. At one point, the first time I went, the nurse said to me, well, say something to him. He might hear it.
And that's the chance you take. Like, the last thing you want to remember is that vision, but what if they do hear you? What if they can understand
that? But that was when he was just lying there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The next time I went in, he had all these things hooked up to him.
Yeah.
And I knew that he wasn't going to hear me or anything, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember whispering in his ear, I love you, Rick, you know. But I don't know if he heard it. He may have. Who knows? I haven't died yet.
That's why we take the chance. That's what we go through seeing these people that we love in that condition, because there is that whatever chance, that percentage that they can understand or know somehow that we're there and
but
we love
them,
right? But
once they got all those tubes in them and everything, forget it. You know, they're not going to hear you.
It's weird how you talk about that day. I've never said this ever out loud. While you guys were up there, I was on the phone to Lori, who was downstairs. And Steve came down, and at that point
down so I could go up. He could only have two people in the room at a time.
So I was keeping Lori on company on the phone.
I didn't know that.
And when Steve came down, because he's my friend too, I love him, I heard his reaction to explaining where Rick was at, and I mean, it was dire.
It was over at that point.
Yeah.
Which was amazing to me on a lot of levels, because I never knew he was that sick.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some indication towards the end when, you know, I was told by his friend Randy, Randy was really kind of taking care of him, taking him to doctor visits and so on. And I know he had been told by the doctor, you have cirrhosis of the liver. And it's not in great shape. But if you don't drink starting right now, it stops getting worse the minute you stop drinking.
Yep.
And so in October of that year, he had told me he had stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Which I said, well, that's a good deal. You know, I'm happy about that.
Yep.
And he kept saying he wasn't drinking. But Randy told me that after he died, she went to take care of his place, and he found his credit receipts, and all through the start of the year and the rest of it, there were times he went to, like, I don't know, Stu Leonard's Liquors and bought bottles of vodka, and there were a lot of those. And she also found bottles in the trash can. I didn't know it was that bad, you know. Yeah. I was just happy he would stop drinking, you know. But then I noticed the last time I visited him, because we didn't visit with each other a lot towards the end, because you had COVID.
Yep.
And then, you know, it became more difficult to get out there. And this was like on the trailing end, if I remember correctly, of COVID. So I finally got a chance to go out and see him. And I noticed he walked really slowly. You know, it just – nothing seemed right. But there's a form of a delusion that you have that nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Because you don't want anything to be wrong. You know what I'm saying? So you're in a state of denial. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a sinus thing today.
You got a thing.
You really don't know. And I always felt guilty about that I didn't see the signs of it. Randy didn't even see the signs of it. You know, she had thought he had quit drinking and everything. And the day she knew that he was in bad shape is when she went over and he was passed out in his bedroom. She rushed him to a hospital, I think, by ambulance.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the end, you know.
Yeah. The descent was already happening at that point.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where – and you wonder, like, is it the isolation? Is it part of the reason? Like, I mean, we became friends during – like right now, 5 years ago, I was at BC Children's Hospital with my granddaughter and that's in a different city than where I live. And so we basically, my wife and I moved down to Vancouver, for that 5 or 6 months. And it was basically right now, cause cancer has a lot of downtime. My 18 month old granddaughter had cancer. She's fine now. She's great. It turned out very, very, very well. But cancer, there's a lot of downtime.
What kind of cancer? What kind of cancer did she have?
So she was 18 months old at the time. She had a tumor the size of my fist right attached to, behind her tailbone. And it hadn't attached itself to any major organs. It was basically coming off of her bowel. And they think it was probably there in utero. And they missed it in the ultrasounds.
Did they consider it cancer or did they just consider it a growth?
Well, and that's the thing. We went down on what we up here in Canada call Boxing Day. We went down thinking that they were going to remove a cyst. She had the surgery New Year's Eve, and pathology came back on the 5th of January saying, no, it's cancerous. Where you're staying here, you're going to get 4 rounds of chemo, and we think that it's going to be a very good prognosis from there. But it is cancerous. And so And so there's a lot of downtime during those periods.
I didn't know you were going through that. Jeez.
Yeah, that's but when I met you, it was after. But I'm in this Airbnb, and this is where my friendship with Shecky starts blossoming. I get to know him online, and we start going back and forth, and we realize that we're both into, you know, comics and memorabilia and different things, and I have an endless Letterman trivia list of questions, and Shecky was so happy to just answer these questions, and that's where our friendship evolved to.
My friendship with you evolved because he said you got to meet this guy, Mike Chisholm.
Exactly, and that's and so it all starts. So
let me
got my
ask
granddaughter's
you this
cancer
before we go any further. How's the granddaughter doing?
She's the light of my world. She's absolutely everything.
Look at
her.
That's
her right there.
Oh, look at her. Is that adorable or what?
She is absolutely my world. I see her 5 days a week. She has slept over at our house at least one night a week since she was 2 weeks old. So very, very tight relationship with her. And having gone through that, made it even that the bond that
much
stronger.
What do the doctors say now? It's gone?
Yeah. There's a certain they're only allowed to say cancer free under a certain amount of conditions. So like when we left the hospital, her doctor happened to be the head of oncology for BC Children's Hospital. I said, okay, I said, is she cancer free? And she looks at me and she goes, well, we're not allowed to say that yet until a certain time, but yes, now we've past the time where she is cancer free. She's totally right. Cancer free.
Right.
They're going to keep a look on her till she's 18, but yeah, she's great.
Yeah, of course they're going to keep a look on her. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, for my leukemia, I have to go to my doctor every 6 months.
Yep.
You know, just so you can say, well, nothing new. You know.
Yep.
Because I may never come down with it, but then again, at my age, doesn't really matter, does it? You know,
that was 2018.
When the kid is just being born, the worst of that? It really matters.
100%.
You know,
100%. That was 2018. You went through that, right?
What, this leukemia?
Yeah.
Oh no, that was just a year ago, maybe that we.
Oh, that was after the pandemic. I'm sorry. I thought it was before the pandemic.
Well, I had the prostate cancer.
That's what I'm thinking of. That's what I'm thinking
of. I'm just
of.
This cancer farm now. I had I had prostate cancer, and you know, it was just a very little amount, but nevertheless, they wanted to get rid of it, so they pounded it flat by giving me, you know, radiation, and then they put these seeds in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, so good. You know, I have another appointment with my urologist at the end of the month. But so far, all the tests always come back. I have absolutely no what they call PSA.
Yeah.
So no, it's so negligible, it's ridiculous. You know, but hopefully it'll continue to be that way. My doctor said last time, he said you can pretty much consider that you're going to be cancer free from this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had two cancers, neither of which were in any position to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how you think of this word cancer as being scary and so on, and really, it's more curable in a lot of cases than in others. In cases like my leukemia, it's a thing called chronic lymphatic leukemia, which is called CLL.
Yep.
And you ask anybody about it, and most doctors say you're going to die with it, not from it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's what they always say about this. So these are things I think that I'm getting only because I'm older.
Sure.
You know, and that if you look at it, it's probably pretty common among people over 80 that they get this kind of but, you know, I mention it, leukemia. I say to somebody, well, you know, it turns out I have leukemia. And they went, what? Yeah. Like they hear leukemia and they go, what?
You know. Oh, yeah. Cancer is a loaded word. Leukemia is a loaded word. These are things where even with Alara's condition, you know, 20 years ago, like this was considered, it was a complex surgery. They went in from the front and the back to get the whole thing out. They got in the 99 percentile of the tumor gone. And then they used chemo to, you know, eradicate that
imagine
point,
a
whatever
child
percent that was
that
left.
Age, she just been right. born.
Right.
And
but 20 years ago,
and
though.
And she's getting chemo.
That's just it. But 20 years ago, and so we had all those same things that you're talking about, the loaded feelings, the PTSD that comes with that. But in the last 20 years, things have changed so drastically, where 20 years ago, this might have been much, 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 I'm not trying to lower the gravity of the seriousness of it. It was serious. It was really serious. And I mean, at the time, you know, we were scared out of our minds. But 20 years ago, it would have been a completely different story. And where things have come in that last 20 years dealing with cancer to, you know, unload that word a little bit. It is a very different prognosis now than it was back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that is as it should be, you know. But, I mean, when people have they say you have cancer, don't get all frightened about it. Just deal with it and get it taken care of, you know.
Manage it. Yep.
The thing is that if you get prostate cancer in your 60s, your prognosis is much worse than if you get it after 80.
Yep.
All right? It's just something, it popped up here, got a little cancer in your prostate, let's get rid of it.
Yep.
All right?
Yeah.
In fact, I looked at my doctor, the one who put the seeds in me, He's the same guy who did what's his name? Our former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani.
Yep.
He did the seeds on Rudy Giuliani like 20 years ago, and Giuliani's still alive, right?
He sure is. He's still going hard in the paint. That guy's going hard in the paint. You are too, after all this time. You're still doing what you're doing. I love it. I love that you're doing as many shows as you're doing.
Yeah, but I said to my doctor, is this a thing that I'm going to die from? And he looked at me and he went, no. Like, you idiot, you moron.
Yep.
You know, I'll take care of you. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. I think at the end of this, if I get a good thing this time, that's 5 years. You know, I've hit the five-year mark. So, you know. But, you know, everybody, if there are signs of it, go have it taken care of. You get it early, chances are it's not going to be a problem for you. You can't get it any earlier than one day born.
Yeah, that's exactly it. With Alara, they thought they could have caught it early. You know, it's funny. We've got the free healthcare, not the free healthcare, but the universal healthcare.
Well, you won't anymore once you become part of the United States.
I know, the 51st state. It's going to be interesting. I hope they let us keep hockey. But I'm 48. I tried to get a colonoscopy. And that's the one thing that I'll tell you this. If there is one thing that's frustrating with the universal healthcare is sometimes being proactive is a little bit more difficult because, you know, they're taking on the higher risk cases and higher probability cases, you know, sooner, which makes sense. But I go to my doctor. I'm like, I'm 48. I'd like to schedule a colonoscopy. She makes you do a blood test and she's like, yeah, no, not until you're 50. And I'm just like, what? But I'm trying to look for these things early.
Actually, they've lowered it here in the United States, but it was the same thing here in the United States. So at 50, you got a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If there was something suspicious, you did it earlier. But now they've lowered it to 45, I guess mainly because Americans have worse asses than Canadians do. But that's the reason why, you know. But they'll still do it, right?
She won't schedule. Like if I kind of push the envelope, I didn't try pushing the envelope. I was just, I listened to her and I said, okay, well, she goes, your blood work is fine. Everything is fine. There's no reason to, you know, there's no reason for you to do this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, trust her. You know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but it's funny wanting to be proactive and not be a hypochondriac.
Kind of say,
but,
you know, people who want to down universal health care point to Canada and say, see how terrible it is, it takes forever to blah blah blah, and it's not that bad, is it? You're happy.
It depends
happy
on
with
what
it
there are some things that are frustrating. You need an MRI for your knee and it's not urgent.
Yeah.
You might be waiting a few months for that MRI. You know, if it's urgent, like with Alara, we noticed the little bump above her tailbone. My wife actually noticed it when she was sleeping over here you know, we thought it might be, you know, some impacted, you know, fecal matter or something like that these things the babies get. But my wife had that sort of sixth sense and she's like, no, you know what? I think we need to get this checked out. So we had her at the hospital that night. She had an ultrasound that night. And that night they said, you know what, maybe come back tomorrow. Now, they didn't want to alarm us, but in the ultrasound they saw the mass. And we said, okay, so that would be Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve we came back. We didn't really know why we were coming back, but 7 in the morning we were there for an MRI for Alara. So the next day, literally Christmas Eve, this little, you know, at that point 18-month-old got an MRI. You know, if it would have been her knee, it might have been waiting. That long.
Yeah. So they took
so,
care.
So it's
they
case by case is
fast.
Really.
Yeah.
They did because it was an emergency, right?
Yeah.
Because it was up there. So that's the limitation with the universal. I find many times is that you know, waiting. There's extra waiting for things where there wouldn't be. We do have some private clinics up here where, you know, those who've got a few shekels saved up will go and just get it done privately and get it done immediately, spend a couple grand and get it done.
Yeah.
But I have.
Is there any way of buying medical insurance up there in case you want to do that?
our medical insurance is different than it is down in the States. Like, ours is basically top-up stuff that includes things like dental, massage, glasses, things like that. There, I'm sure there are private clinics you can build relationship with, but no, we don't have the type of medical insurance you guys have when it comes to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I pay a lot of money for my insurance. You know, yeah. We pay, between Marjorie and I, we pay about $800 a month for our supplemental.
As seniors.
Which pays, well, we have the Medicare, but that only takes care of 80%. The other 20%, you got to pony up.
Well, I'm saying seniors paying $800 a month. I don't care where you live. Seniors, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow for a lot
of
people. Well,
luckily I have the money, as you know.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to, well, every now and then we had a really nice dinner on New Year's. Cost us about $400, with our friends. And afterwards, I just looked up and said, thank you, Shecky. You know, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, in the case of my health and so on, thank you, Shecky. You know, we can afford it. Thanks to him.
But very grateful for everything. My show wouldn't exist if it wasn't for him. Like, I'm so, so great. And it happened because of your show. Like, it's crazy how it happened.
You know, none of us knew he was dying.
No.
But he did, I'm sure.
I think so, too.
Because I talk about this constantly. I had yelled and screamed at him, hey, you know, you got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You should have a will. He didn't have a will.
Yeah.
And finally, one day he said to me, I went to a lawyer today and I made up a will.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and you were in it. And he told me how much he was going to leave me. And I went, hey, Shecky, you know, it's really nice. But at my age, chances are I'm never going to see it. Okay.
Exactly.
And 2 months later. Because
he's what, 60? He's 60. He was 67 at the time?
Yeah. 2 months later, he was dead.
That's crazy.
You know? And I went, well, he knew something. You know, it wasn't that he didn't know something. Because of all those years of me saying to him, you should have a will.
Yeah.
He never did it. And it wasn't because I wanted to be in it. I told him, I said, I believe you don't have to put me in it. I just want you to get one. So that money doesn't go to the state of New York. Because as time was going on, he was accumulating more and more money. Because his brother was investing it and so on.
Yep.
And finally, he says to me, I went to a lawyer and got it done. And I went, oh, that's terrific, you know. But I didn't say to myself, maybe he did it because he's dying.
No. Yeah. I think he knew, too. The last couple of times I talked to him, it's funny, even the last couple of times on your show, I'm gonna be taking the YouTube version of your show a few episodes, because he would compliment the progress of our show, of the Letterman podcast.
He was on the Monday show.
Yeah. And he would say, you know, oh, I've known Felicia for 22 years and you went 3 hours with her and I learned all these things. And he was so complimentary. He would give me notes all the time. Well, closer to his passing, he made those notes more public. He'd say them on your show. It wouldn't just be like, you know, phone calls or text messaging.
Yeah.
And I just felt like he was as vulnerable as Shecky could be, he was being. He was kind of being a little bit more touchy-feely, I found.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
you know, this has been our memorial to Rick Shecman.
And great, let's do it.
Yeah,
I think that's important.
I mean, I love the guy, you know.
Me too.
He was my closest best friend.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of best friends that had died previously. And now I have no best friends. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got Marjorie.
Well, I got Marjorie. She's my best friend, but I'm married to her, so that doesn't count. You know, she has to say hello to me every day. You know?
You can't go deep on DVD extras or Blu-ray extras with Marjorie.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I mean, it was just wonderful to have known him. And I have a lot of memories, and I suddenly realized all the events in my life I associated with Shecky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether it was, meeting up with him right after Marjorie and I got married at the Disney Museum in San Francisco, or the time the Letterman show came to San Francisco and he spent a lot of time at my place because it was only a block away where they were doing it at the Palace of Fine Arts.
Yeah.
And, it was just, just a lot of those memories. And when I started counting them up, I said they were endless. They were just endless.
Did you go to any of those Letterman shows?
No. No.
You didn't?
No.
Could have, but didn't. You guys are too cool for school when it comes to that stuff. I appreciate that about you. I wouldn't have been able to resist.
Well,
there's no way I would have.
I got
to
go
resist.
Here. We'll do another one of these in a couple of minutes. But I got to go here, but I'll just say this. I've never ever saw a Letterman show being done as long as I knew Shecky.
That's crazy.
Well, because Dave didn't like it.
I know.
You know?
I do know that. I get that. But there are ways around that. There are ways to be out of the eyesight.
Oh, you could go do it, and they put you up in the balcony.
You figure it out. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, thank you very much, Mike Chisholm,
always
ladies
a pleasure.
And gentlemen. You see why I like talking to him? He's interesting. Talk to you later.
Now in its 10th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I enjoy talking with Mike Chisholm. He's good. He's really good. Anyway, hello, everybody. How are you? It's a Thursday. It's a Thursday. We're here because we're here because we're here because we're here. Is this beer getting too long? I don't know. Look at that. I'm getting to look like Abe Lincoln. What? Gotta have some coffee. Gotta have some coffee. Yes, sir. Gotta have a little bit of it. Okay. Let me see here. Let's bring in some people. There are a couple of people waiting here. Not many, but a couple. So we'll bring them in right now. And there they are, ladies and gentlemen. There's Charlie Wallace. And
am I upside down?
No, you gotta turn yourself sideways. Come on.
No, it's upside down.
There you go. See?
It's upside down.
See? That's fine. That's good.
I know. I just don't know if this way or this way.
Yeah. No, it one way or the other. I'll let you know when it's right.
Well, I know. Right when I see you start looking like this, I know.
Hello.
Oh, it's Charlie. Hey, can I tell you, you made me laugh this morning. Just out loud. I laughed out loud, actually.
What do you mean?
Because this morning I was driving into work and I was listening to last night.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said you don't go to the urinals because you're afraid that someone's going to be peeing and they look and see you and they're going to turn towards you and say, hey, you're Alex Bennett.
Yeah, that's, but that's true.
That's pretty true. Funny.
I'm very funny about that because I've had that happen and I've had to get out of the way of their pee, you know. They turn around, they go, oh, you're Alex. Oh, no. Oh, God, my pants are all wet now. Somebody else's. It's not bad if your pants are wet from urine as long as it's your own, you know. But when it's somebody else's, forget it.
I laughed on the way in. That was pretty funny.
Well, I'm glad I gave you a laugh.
Yeah.
You having a laugh? Yeah.
Yes.
Hello to Brian Neary, and of course, hello to Charlie Wallace, and Kevin's here already, and Ray's here already. Oh, we got a good bunch of people here. How you guys doing?
Okay.
We're just trying to stay getting away from
ready
the toxic
for the big
cloud
event
that
on,
may be
on,
hitting
on,
the West Coast over here.
What?
So trying to be ready for this toxic cloud that might hit us.
Is there supposed to be a toxic cloud that's going to hit you?
Well, one of, it's not Elon Musk's, but he blew up a rocket today, and then the battery storage plant at Moss Landing is blazing on fire the last 3 hours.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, but it's next door to, it's not actually his. His is the one that blew up last time. Now, this time, it's the other one.
Huh. Wow. And
they're saying that the cloud may be coming our way. So.
Yeah, but Elon Musk's rocket blew up today.
Yeah, he blew up two things almost.
Fortunately, there's no wind, so the cloud is just sitting there, not moving at the moment.
It's going north towards Santa Cruz, but they're supposed to change in the middle of the night.
In all deference to Elon Musk, who we don't want to give credit for anything, his rockets pretty much don't have a problem, you know. But this is one of the big ones, and these are the ones they're having a hard time getting off the ground and doing all of that, and they're testing it. And if they blow up, they blow up. That's part of the process, you know. The only thing was, it splattered a whole bunch of debris up in the air, and that's just got to come down somewhere.
Yeah, they had to close the airspace.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway.
The booster rocket made it back, apparently.
The booster, they got the booster to come back, and they did the chopstick thing, and it was just fine, you know. So, anyway. Wait a minute, there's Jeffrey Stein. Kind of. Where is he? I don't even
Those
see
his
him.
Legs.
Huh? what is that?
Next place Brian is.
Huh? Well, I thought Brian was going over to see Jeff. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I was trying to check on him.
So, anyway, is everybody getting ready for Monday? Is everybody excited about the inauguration?
Are we storming the Capitol or what?
No, fortunately not. We really should, you know.
I'll be too busy drinking.
I'm going to drop some acid.
Millions of people.
Oh, yeah. Let's see the crowds.
Yeah.
Actually, it's supposed to be terribly cold. It's supposed to be the coldest inauguration since 1985.
Yeah, the football games are going to, I think Eagles are going to be, it's going to be snowing during the Eagles game and the Bills, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's up in Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
Pelosi's not going.
Yeah. Where's Jeff? Where's Jeff?
Well, look,
Jeff,
like
are you there?
Something's moving. Something's moving.
What is that?
What is
he turned on his camera and left? Huh?
What is that thing?
I don't know. It looks like a tribute to David Lynch. You know. Weird.
It's like the monolith from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. Coming out of the earth.
The monkeys.
I don't understand. Should we just get rid of him for the time being?
Jeff, you're all right.
I think he's trying to get on, but.
Trying to get it on?
On
the ground. Oh, trying to get
it on. Get up, Jeff. Get up.
Jeff? Can you hear us, Jeff?
Yeah.
Can't even hear us.
I just heard Pam, I think.
Yeah. I just heard Pam. The camera's pointing at the ceiling or the monitor.
Oh, now he's on mute. No, he's not.
That's the ceiling fan.
See, this is what's so exciting about this program, folks, is when this happens.
Let's talk about colonoscopy. Well, colonoscopy.
Why do you want to talk about colonoscopy?
I don't know, because that's what we often talk about when there's nothing else to talk about.
Well, the colonoscopy.
I had my first colonoscopy at 48.
There we go.
Yeah?
Because I had the stomach also.
And so do you still get them every, 5 years?
Yeah, not every 10 years since then.
Well, every 10 years since then. Here comes Joy Nelson. She's... joining the group tonight. Boy, nice crowd we got here. Well, there went Jeff.
Oh, Jeff's gone.
I don't know.
He'll be back.
Joy will be here in a second. Hello, Joy. Can you hear us?
Yes. Let me turn off the video. Hold on.
Turn on the video. That's what
No. I had YouTube open in my browser.
Oh, okay. But now you want to turn on the camera.
Yeah. Let me get back to Zoom because that's in the app. There we go.
There we go. There you are.
There she is.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, good. You know, I've been feeling a little out of it today, but, you know. What happens is I've got this thing called neuropathy, and the neuropathy causes problems with my balance. And my balance is affected when there's less light. In other words, if I were to close my eyes, I start feeling wobbly. Okay, so now in my house, certain parts of the apartment at night are dark and others aren't. And so when I walk through the dark parts of the apartment, I'm all like lightheaded and dizzy. And as soon as I get to a place like this where I've got the lights on, I'm fine. You know, so.
Night lights everywhere.
Night lights everywhere, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
You were mentioning, you know, I remembered from way back in the day, and I remembered you mentioned your cats and they had like Yiddish names. And I remember the show on the night that Shabbos died.
Really? You do?
Yeah.
That was a sad night for me.
That was a sad night.
That was my oldest cat, I think. He lived to be about 18.
And my cat gets to 18. Huh? Almost. Most of my cats make it to about 17 and a half, 18.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was terrific. It was a terrific cat. Great cat. My guru. You know. He was just a great cat. You know, I'll never forget him. There's another cat I had called Charlie that was a great cat, too. Smartest cat I ever had. He was really bright.
I had a lot of cats. I had Siamese cats, and then my, at that time, boyfriend, soon to be husband, had a Burmese cat, and we ended up breeding Tonkinese cats.
The Tonkinese?
Tonkinese. It's a cross between a Siamese and a Burmese.
Wow. Wow. Burmese are beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
They're just really dark. You'd almost mistake them for being Siamese because they are really kind of like dark versions of the Siamese. Would that be a good way of describing it?
They're a little bit rounder. I mean, their face was a little rounder. They're like very dense cats. They're small and heavy as hell. You know, they're built like bricks. Whereas the Siamese was more lief, you know, and had...
By a dense cat, do you mean he was stupid?
No, he was really smart. He would jump from the floor up to my shoulder. It's like, come on, boo-boo.
Yeah.
It was remarkable, and he was actually one of my shortest-lived cats. He ended up dying of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy at, I think he was like 9, and he was my shortest-lived cat.
It's amazing how you go to a cat hospital, and they check out your cat to figure out what's wrong with him, and they come up with all these diseases you and I get. Oh, you know, he's got whatever I have.
Foot
in
mouth.
Oh yeah, a Luke feline.
There's many times they give you the same meds you get too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, and they cost about as much now too.
No, they're more because they're not covered.
Well, years ago, I remember the vet. I always thought of vets as really incredible because really they got paid less than anybody else. And all of a sudden, one day, it's like it'll be $500. We're gonna cure your cat for $5,000, you know, and I'm going, when did this become a big medical profession, you know?
Well, I have parrots, so I can't even go to a regular vet. I have to go to an avian vet. And expensive? Oh, my goodness. I wish I could go to a dog and cat vet, but I, you know, I can't. I mean, become an avian vet, it requires like an additional 3 to 4 years of training.
Yeah.
And There aren't that many of them, at least not that many good ones.
Well, here in New York, they had a place years ago called the Animal Medical Center.
I used to go there.
Used to go there, right?
I'd drive into the city.
The best place you could take your animal.
Absolutely.
Really.
My pigs, rabbits, you know, because they did,
they,
you know.
They took care of elephants, you know. I just found every time I took my cat there, whatever was wrong with them, they took care of it, you know?
Yeah, they were like a full service, like a human hospital.
Yeah, and it was right off the west side, right off the east side highway.
Mm-hmm. I used to drive into the city and take my guinea pigs, my rabbits, my cats, everything.
I don't know if it's there anymore, is it?
Oh, that place was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But it was very special, very special.
It was like a human. Oh, now I'm gonna have to look it up. That was like it was a full, like a human hospital.
Yeah, yeah, it was a terrific hospital. It was wonderful. In fact, I'd even take myself there if I was sick. Yeah,
me too.
By the way, show everybody your tattoo. We don't get to see it that much, Brian. Show them what it is.
My cat, too?
No, your tattoo.
Which one?
The one on your arm. The one on your...
Oh, my... So my cat. My cat's playing with his ball. Oh, I got... Well, I got three now. I got that one.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who puts a Cadillac album emblem on their arm?
Wow.
And what is
and then I got one here, but I can't show that one. Oh, what? And I got this one.
Your phone looks like a prison 2015. Number. I'll bet that's the day your daughter was born.
Yep.
Am I right? Course.
Yep.
You have a tattoo of her anywhere?
No.
Not yet.
But I have, so on my chest here, over my heart. So my mom's name was Adrian also. And, you know, she passed away when I was 13. So, so my mom used to, when she used to write sort of this, her cursive was like, you could tell, sort of real, not bubbly, but just like a different style.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found a paper that she had written with her name on it. So I took that and I blew that up, and then my friend tattooed that on my chest. My mom's name in her own writing.
Does anybody else here have a tattoo?
No. You do? Alex does.
You do, Alan? What is yours?
No, Alex. You have a tattoo.
I have four of them.
Four tattoos?
I have three of them.
What are they?
One's a dog that I used to have, a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
One's a weird-looking guy with his eye popping out of his head. One says mom, and... what is the third one? The third one is a raccoon.
Yeah, well, I have four tattoos. When I got prostate cancer and they had to do radiation on me, they had to put markers on my body, and so I have these four little dots around my stomach area. They're just very tiny. I mean, if I couldn't even show them to you, that tiny. But that's it. And I mentioned to them, I said, yeah, but if you tattoo me, I can never be buried in a Jewish cemetery. And they said, no, we checked with rabbis, and if it's for your health, it's okay. So I have a rabbi-approved tattoo.
There's another tattoo that's...
Hmm?
There's another tattoo that's approved to be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Well, if you got one in the Holocaust,
that's right.
Numbers. Yeah, those are considered okay. You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're not going to be buried in a Jewish cemetery anyhow.
Well, I guess not, because Marjorie's going to have me. Crispy
cremated, which is against the religion too. So
well, she wants. She wants to see. I don't know what I want because I don't want to be cremated, particularly. But then again, I don't want to be buried because I have claustrophobia. Now I know that all sounds weird, but who knows how much we know when we're dead? You know,
right? That's right.
So,
I mean, on my tombstone, I want the saying, there goes the neighborhood.
Mine's going to say, I told you I was sick.
Right.
I'm an organ donor, so, you know, it's like, take what you need and charbroil the rest. I don't need to take up 6 feet of room.
Well, I don't mind if they take my organs, unless I finally, there is some other place we go to, and when we get there, they say, sorry, you can't come in, you don't have all your parts. You know, so, but I wouldn't mind giving my cornea and my whatever else is still working, you know.
I'm donating my body to science.
You're donating your body to science?
Science fiction?
You want them to just put you on a slab somewhere in a medical
school?
I want
some doctor to learn how to do his craft on my body. Yeah. Help somebody else in the future.
I really don't know. I'm just I don't like to think about dying. And I'm at a time in my life where I think about it a lot, you know. But then again, you know, I could have died when I was 50. So who knows when you're going to go, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, do you worry about it, Jeff? Jeff, you're an old fart like me.
I'm concerned about it.
You're concerned about it.
Yeah, but just pretty minimally. But sometimes.
Well, you were close to that, right? You had some problems that you could have died a lot younger than you are now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, every time you do a little bit of surgery or whatever, it makes you a little scary.
Yeah, but you don't know if you're going to wake up from it. Most people do, and in most cases we do, but sometimes you hear about people who, well, gee, we don't know what happened, but he died on the table.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I like an aortic valve. I have two of them, one on top of the other.
Oh, really? You're
strange.
Huh?
He's strange. Most people only have one. He's got two of them.
Two aortic
valves. I actually have four.
Don't we only have one aorta?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how come you get two aortas?
Just four.
But I had other ones that weren't living very well.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Weren't working very well.
So I had a metal one put in.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked for a long, long time. However, I had a stroke because of that fact that I was using metal.
Oh, I see. Is that what gave you the stroke?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so after that, I took out that metal valve and put in a porcine valve.
That means a pig valve. Yeah.
Pig valve. However.
How does that sit with the rabbis?
They're okay.
Huh?
Where are they?
It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway. So I needed at one time, the one that I was having was starting to wear out, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it was getting a little war. It wasn't strong.
I think we call it funky. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, the guy says, well, you know what? I'll just put in a bigger one on top of it. And I can put that in pretty easily. And I was happy with that. That worked out.
Yeah,
and it's still on there.
Yeah, and you're alive and kicking. You know.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, I got a lot of mechanical and electrical things. Hmm. So it's like your carburetor. Fix the oil once in a while.
You invented one of these, didn't you, Jeff?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just invented something with a heart valve. Oh, yeah. I do it every day, Monday through Friday. I make a new heart valve.
For a while, that was what I was doing for every day, as much as I could.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the only
Now, do you have one of those in you, or is it another?
The one that I have is owned by Boston Scientific.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, do they have, you say they own it? Why, you haven't paid for it yet?
No, I own the part that was sold by Boston Scientific.
Well, it's pretty hard for them to repossess it anyway, isn't it?
Well, what they're saying that after these days, that probably this year sometime, it's time to take them out, put a new one in, just the battery part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's cool.
That's what is going these days.
Anybody else here?
A jump start?
Oh yeah. I don't know how to do that, but it probably might work.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Well, I have a story about that. My brother is also a mechanical engineer, and he invented a number of different parts for the aorta and heart and things like this, and one of the things that he invented for the aorta that my dad needed is it installed in my dad's aorta. My brother invented it.
Cool.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, it is. Cool.
And, it's by, cool. And it's just by chance.
What do you invent, like a stent or something like that?
Yeah, some kind of stent, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He holds the patent on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When did they do that?
I think about 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't some company buy it from him or something? Like Boston Scientific is a big company.
I think he might have been working for Boston Scientific at the time. Or another, or a smaller company like them. I know he worked for them for a while, but then he went to, he worked at smaller companies that did the same thing. So I can't be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where does he live? Or where does he work?
In Los Gatos, California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is good, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else have a medical problem? Oh, well, Kevin. He's, you've got tons of them, don't you?
Yeah, I got a few.
Yeah, yeah, but
well, I have pneumonia.
I almost died for 2 years.
Huh? You what?
You almost died.
You almost died.
I almost died for 2 years.
You almost died for 2 years.
Yeah, when I had my infection, well, that's why my legs all screwed up.
Oh, really? And that lasted 2 years?
Well, I was on every kind of antibiotic you could think of for 2 years.
Wow.
Intravenously.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Some body scans, and I was picking ankles out of a magazine and everything else.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Fun stuff.
And of course, we, you know, when we want to talk about medical, we have old Charlie Four Toes here.
Yep.
I remember you were actually calling the show when you had your toes cut off, right?
Not at the time, but I mean, the day I had the surgery, I called the show that night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you had diabetes, is what happened. Yes. And you kind of, they had to, what'd you get, gangrene in your toes or whatever?
I got some kind of infection in it. Toe turned all black.
That's got to make you feel, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah.
Brian, how's your health? Is it okay?
There was a bad joke there, but I won't say anything.
Yeah, I know. I'll say it. Charlie, how did you know they turned black? Is that the joke you were thinking of? Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's a difference between black and brown.
Yeah, my friend Earl is black. Yeah, he wouldn't. My friend Earl's so black, he wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah,
foot would just fall off one day.
Exactly.
No, I just have. I have the little.
I can show you.
Well, this is a show everybody's going to want to listen to, huh?
And get canceled. I had high blood pressure. I just take the, you know, the one medicine the every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah, then your blood pressure is fine. So is mine.
Yeah,
the same thing.
That's the only thing I have.
Yeah. Coumadin? Something like that?
That's a blood thinner. No, this is
Lisinopril.
What is that?
Lisinopril?
Yeah, Lisinopril. Yeah.
Lisinopril.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joy, you got any problems?
I'm doing great if you don't ask for details.
You know, it's all part of getting older. You get over 50.
Yeah, ladies don't.
You get over 50 and these kind of things start happening to you, you know?
You know, the other day I was at the doctor's and he says, you know, the past 6 times you've been here, your blood pressure's been kind of high, so we're going to double your blood pressure medicine. I'm like, just like that? Yep. And I said, if we leave it alone, it's not super high. If we leave it alone, what'll happen? He says, well, it puts you at higher risk of heart attack, stroke, and kidney problems. He says, in the immediate near time, you probably won't affect you, but it'll shorten your life having high blood pressure.
Of course, we take care of everything by pills now. Like, I don't have to take care of my blood pressure. I just take the pill, and my blood pressure is just fine. Okay.
Absolutely.
But wouldn't it be better if they said to me, why don't you change what you eat? Wouldn't it be better if you just change your lifestyle preferences rather than take a pill to take care of it?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, this one podcast a lot, He has a lot of different people on there, and they just talk about ultra high processed foods now that our body is not used to and all this stuff. Really, really bad. You know, they just finally made that dye number 5 illegal yesterday.
Red dye number 3.
Yeah, red dye, yeah. And it's been, how long have they known that this is an issue? Well, a lot of people have already changed it.
I think they haven't been putting it in food for quite a while, or in most foods.
Right, but they're still, yeah.
Yeah, but if you eat something that's red in color, like red licorice, it might have red dye number 3 in it. You don't know.
Number 40, red dye. I eat it all the time. Red licorice whips, it's red dye number 40.
Okay, so that's okay?
That's a better kind.
Oh, they're trying to get that off, too.
Good, get it all.
All these artificial dyes are not good for you.
They just changed the color for the food, so it looks
when
more
I was
appealing.
A kid, I gotta say, I hate pulling this stuff off because I get to feel so old when I say when I was a boy. But when I was a boy, we just had candy and stuff, you know? It didn't have any red dyes in it or anything like that. They just made
just sugar. Yeah.
It was just sugar. I mean, it was maybe no good for you. But it certainly, there was nothing artificial in there. It was only, I don't know, when did artificial stuff start proliferating?
70s, I think.
70s.
Yeah. And most of it was to preserve the food. So when they put stuff in there, all that crap that they're putting in there is to make sure that the food can stay on the shelf longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Terrible. Well, and it did last longer. It should... You would think that if there was some kind of something they put in the food to make it last longer, that it would make you last longer.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Just a thought.
It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
And I'm not going to pass it off as medical advice because I'll hear from the people at Facebook and what do you call it?
Facebook. YouTube. You can say anything you want.
Yeah, can you say anything?
Now I can say anything I want to on Facebook, can't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's YouTube.
Talking about obese people. Did you see the orangutan, the stuff that Jon Stewart was showing about the orangutan on the golf cart?
No.
Well, that was you.
Who was it? Like Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Oh my God, so funny.
Donald Trump sued Bill Maher because said he looked like an orangutan or something like that, and so he sued Bill Maher.
He does.
And Bill Maher had to apologize to get rid of the suit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I mean,
he's a loser.
What a way to put down an orangutan.
Well, it's unfortunate that orangutans have a certain look that is a lot like Donald Trump. So,
absolutely, we get it.
Whatever happened to me saying we weren't going to talk about Donald Trump ever again?
I didn't say
that. Went down the tubes like the next day.
It's very difficult. I mean, the guy just doesn't stop.
We're supposed to not say his name.
Last night, Biden gave his farewell speech or whatever, and I didn't watch it. But I heard about it, and he warned of what he called the technical industrial complex, which is a play on the old Eisenhower warning of the military industrial complex, whatever. And he's right. I mean, if you think about it, these guys have gotten way too much power, too much money. And according to something I saw today with what's his name, the guy, you know, the socialist who's in Congress.
Bernie Sanders.
He was asking a question of a guy who's supposed to wind up being the Secretary of the Treasury. Don't you feel it's horrible that the top three technological oligarchs combined have more money than the bottom third of the country?
Yeah.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
You know, I mean... Elon Musk should not be allowed to have this much money. Neither should any of these people. And I sound like some kind of communist or something.
No.
But the excessiveness of these people having as much money as they have and as much power as they have as a result of having that money is kind of sad, you know?
Out of the government, they don't even thinly veil it anymore. You know, it's just right out there. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Elon Musk is our new president, although he can't be president, so he does it through Trump.
Do you know how much Elon Musk is worth?
$300 billion?
What?
$300 billion?
I think it's now up to $400.
Oh.
But it's close to a trillion.
Well, $400 billion.
That's what he wants to get to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the first trillionaire. Isn't that something to be afraid of, that someone has this much money in a country which is capitalistic and where you can buy things? This is a lot of buying of stuff, you know?
And you can buy illegal things when you got that type of money, too, and they do.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's scary. Kids. It's very scary. I mean, if you think about it. And then you got the guys like, all these people are like completely caving into Trump now. Yeah. It's like they're all going down. They're all going down for the inauguration. Yep. They're paying for his inaugural balls.
Yeah.
You know?
Zuckerberg's giving some millions to the inaugural ball.
And I think, who else did I see was doing it?
The CEO of Amazon,
Bezos. Amazon, Bezos is doing it too. They're all kissing his ass, and for what?
And he's a billion, you know, apparently a billionaire.
But you see, what they're afraid of is that he's going to go after all like the late night talk show hosts. You know, yeah. I mean, he's got a Justice Department that's going to be on his side. He's got a Supreme Court that's on his side.
Yep.
The amount of you know, retribution that he is going to heap upon these people.
What about the news media?
Huh?
I mean, it's really scary the way the news media is cowering. I mean, there's never going to be anybody that says anything counter to his wishes at this point.
MSNBC just got rid of its president.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you call it that runs MSNBC? It's trying to remember the company.
Murdoch?
No, it's the company that owns them. It's owns NBC. It's
Comcast.
Is thinking of siphoning off MSNBC and a couple of other entities, basically their news entities, into private organizations. Because they don't want them to affect NBC and what Trump could possibly do to them. Although the fact of the matter is, you don't know this, the networks really don't have to answer to the FCC. They're private organizations. The only thing they have, though, that could be a problem is they own local stations which are under the purview of the FCC. So, I mean, it's not going to be pretty. And today I read an article about which talk show hosts are going to be leveled at by the administration. I mean, Kimmel's got problems up his ass once this starts happening.
Oh, absolutely.
Seth Meyers has a real problem with it. It's Colbert. I mean, people like that, they're all going to have problems. Because Trump is going to make their life a living hell. Dissension will not be allowed in this country.
And you know what's even scarier? A lot of people are going to YouTube and independent. These people could never fight a lawsuit. I mean, ABC even caved. And Disney owns ABC.
Yeah.
And they even caved and settled the lawsuit, which they could have absolutely easily won.
Yeah, the fact that they caved on that lawsuit, everybody's really mad about. Because they're saying that you made it more easy for him to go after other people, you know, because you gave in. And I don't know. It's going to be terrible. It's not going to be.
This reminds me of history.
Hmm?
It reminds me of history. In the late 30s and early 40s, there was some little idiot that started scaring everybody, and everybody was worshiping him.
Well, if you didn't worship him, you were on his bad side, and you didn't want to be on his bad side.
Or incarcerate you. That's right.
And right now, he's going after companies that don't want to lose their profit margin.
No.
And profit margin is more important than anything else. And it's going to be terrible. I mean, look, you got, of course, you got Musk in there, and you got what's his name from Facebook,
Zuckerberg,
and you've got Bezos. He's kowtowing to the guy. It's terrible. It's just terrible. And these are not people that are traditionally particularly left, you know, right wingers. But these are people who 4 years ago were just blasting Trump and saying how afraid they were of this guy.
Supreme Court, Trump has a lot more power this time around.
Yeah.
And he has the power to go after the people that say bad things about him, and nobody can do anything about it.
Well, whoever thought that we would live in a country, in America, where if you disagreed with somebody, they could throw you in jail. I mean, he's going to get to that point where he's going to try that.
He said he was going to.
Yeah.
I believe him.
Yeah. He's going to get it, and maybe he'll try to get even with me. And I'm small potatoes, you know.
And he'll take everybody, you know, sends a message.
What he might do is he might intimidate Facebook, for instance, or YouTube, where our programs are on, if they don't, like, do something about us, you know.
Yeah, about all the people who have, like, the Google Homes and the Amazon Alexas and everything who are listening?
I'm not as worried about that, you know.
Right, I know, because we're nothing. I mean, they can't track everybody. Go after the high-profile
people. But, I mean, how much are we going to be bothered by, you know, I don't think that I have to worry about that in particular. You know?
Probably not.
I'm just thinking. I have an Amazon here, and I don't think it's listening to what I'm saying right now.
Well, it could be, but it probably isn't.
Hmm.
There's no reason it couldn't be.
Well, I don't know that when I ask it a question, that question doesn't get registered somewhere. That I don't know for sure.
That I don't know. Yeah, that could definitely happen if they wanted to.
If they wanted to, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, doesn't it scare you when you go online and say you put in your browser, lipstick, okay?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, there are 10 lipstick ads on your browser page.
Yeah. Or I buy something on Amazon, and all of a sudden my Google page shows me, like, I go into the Google page and like on my phone, and it's like, there's something related to that thing I bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
How did the hell did that happen?
Well, I mean, that's the part that scares me.
Yeah.
Facebook is always listening.
Hmm?
Facebook is always listening. Well, Facebook, if you wanted to listen, put your phone in a Faraday cage or something.
Well, wait a minute.
Turn it off.
Well, Facebook isn't listening because Facebook isn't. Amazon's the one you could worry about because they have, like,
Facebook does too, because I've had conversations with my wife about a certain product, and then all of a sudden it shows up on your feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's oddball stuff.
Yeah, now, unique stuff.
Now, was that because you had an Amazon Alexa, maybe, and that the Amazon Alexa
doesn't
was listening
matter.
To
it's
you?
Still getting on Facebook, so Facebook's got to have some kind
but
of.
But how's Facebook going
to
hear you if you don't have a direct audio?
Your mic
link
is always
to
on, and the app is always going in the background.
If you Google right now, cruises to Europe, and then cruises here, cruises there, on your Facebook, cruises will start popping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Before I talk
to somebody in the room,
yeah,
that's
on
my
Facebook,
point,
once you put them in, but I'm saying it's not listening to you like Amazon
so
is listening
is
to me.
Does,
I have an Alexa in every room of the house, okay? So, you know, it can even have pictures of me naked, although I don't think they'd want to do that, you know.
it's a specialized kink.
Yeah.
There's two things going on. I mean, first of all, it's like a security system. If somebody's going to sit there and stare at it and listen to it and all that for 24/7, have at it. But the other thing is, like I said, I still think that they do hear it. And I'm trying not to be paranoid about this crap, but I've had it to where my wife and I are talking about stuff, and it shows up on my Facebook feed. And well, that's I'm over near Alexa. I'm out in the backyard.
You need to go in and turn off a back-end app.
Yeah, probably. I got to turn something off. I don't give a shit, you know.
I mean, I don't
care whatever you want to do. I'm a pretty boring person. So
again, in the immortal words of my friend Larry Bubbles Brown, I don't care if somebody steals my identity, then they'll have no life, you know.
Yeah, that's what I say, you know. You like watching paint dry, go ahead.
Exactly.
The trouble is all those whips end up in your mailbox then.
Well, people say to me, aren't you worried about this and that and everything? I don't care if they're listening. I really don't care. And as far as TikTok is concerned, China wants to know who I am and get my data. I don't care.
They have it.
You know, they have it already anyway. Yeah.
So this is interesting. I turned off my Facebook app refresh a long time ago, and it's back on again. And I did not do that. That's scary.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I just went and looked on my iPhone. It's back on. I just turned it off.
Oh, maybe one of the Apple updates did it.
Yeah, or a Facebook update.
Yeah.
Joy, does any of this bother you?
Actually, I'm well aware of all my devices listening to me. I have a boring life. I'm here alone. I'm just working all the time. So
now you live where again? Here in New York, is it?
Florida. I moved to Florida.
Florida. Okay.
78.
Yeah. So, and do you have an Alexa, for instance?
Oh yeah, don't say that word. I'm surprised she didn't go off. She's
well,
like,
I use the word. I use the word echo here on mine. You know, because if I use
echo,
stop it.
Echo. Alex wants to know.
Echo, what time is it?
It's 11:45 p.m.
Thank you very much. Okay.
How did you change that? Is it an option?
You can go there. You can make it respond to Alexa. You can make it respond to Echo. You can make it respond to any number of words, actually. You know.
I have Google Home, so I don't use the Alexa.
Yeah. And what does it respond? I think you have to go, hey, Google, right?
Yeah, hey, Google, or hello, Google, or something. I just say, hey, Google. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should change the theory so all my devices can go off.
Yeah, right, exactly. What were you going to say, Jeff?
I get things on my computer, and they're like 15 years ago.
From 15 years ago?
It's dead information as far as I'm concerned. But they're picking it up and asking me, oh, are you still doing this, or...
I don't answer any of those things.
I know. I just
really delete spam.
All of that crap I can.
Well,
they're getting very sophisticated and tricking you into stuff.
They are, but I mean, I don't. You know, I guess I just don't worry that much about it. You know, and then this whole thing with TikTok. Do you really care? I mean. What, you mind China having stuff on you and having data about you, but you don't mind the United States having data about you?
Well, that's, yeah, that's part of the propaganda and brainwashing that they're doing to us.
Patriot Act.
Well, yeah. I've been against this whole thing about TikTok anyway. You know, go ahead. You know, TikTok isn't dangerous, all right? It's not a security problem. They're just making you think it is because it's a company that's owned by a company in China, ByteDance. Yeah. And outside of that, it's very little they can do, you know. And they keep saying over and over again, we're not gathering data, we're not gathering data. I mean, how many times do they have to say that? Take them at their word, you know. The only thing I worry about with China is that because they are a Chinese company, China could say, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you know. I don't know. I don't see it as a problem. I see Truth Social as more of a problem than TikTok. Well, anyway, we got about 10 minutes left. Anything anybody wants to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about
So happy.
About Israel.
About Israel.
Oh, gosh.
Oh.
What? Oh, hey, here comes Don Giller, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of Israel.
Yeah. Israel attacked again. It was supposed to be a ceasefire.
Israel is still attacking Gaza while they're waiting for the ceasefire to come into play.
Yeah.
They're turning it up.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting.
Well, when are we finally going to say Israel's disgusting?
I'll say it now. Israel's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, they're killing tens of thousands of people because of a couple thousand people.
It's not because of the war. It's because Netanyahu is just like Trump. He's doing what he wants to do, and he can kill these people and continue to kill.
And as long as he can keep this thing happening, he'll be less in trouble at home because he's on trial at home.
That's right.
You know, and so
he
as
wants
long
to keep out
war,
of jail,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to keep out of jail, and he's committing genocide.
Yeah.
Well, now it's time for this program to go to another segment we like to call "What the Hell Is Don Giller Thinking?" Don Giller, what are you thinking?
A couple things. Mm-hmm. When I Google cruise, I get the most recommendations I get is Cancun.
What?
Not Ted?
Well, that's the joke.
Oh, sorry.
And I want to ask Ray. You tried to bring this up twice, and everyone ignored you. How's Mr. Pneumonia?
Oh yes.
Well, I have a sinus infection, and I have pneumonia, and it's not going away with the antibiotics at this point. So maybe it's viral. I don't know, but I'm supposed to get knee replacement next Friday, but it might get canceled.
That won't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're sick.
So they're going to have to. They're probably going to have to culture because they may be using the wrong antibiotic too.
I have not much energy. I cough all the time, and you know I can't sleep very well. It's just from the flu caused it.
is it wise to be up and about as you are right now?
Well, I don't feel that sick. I mean, I just don't have a lot of energy to do more than
sit
around.
Could it be a lot of what you have is a reaction to the COVID?
Maybe I got the flu because I had COVID. I mean, I was feeling really strong, and then I got COVID, and I was feeling kind of not so great after that, and then I got the flu, so.
Did you get a flu shot?
A flu shot and a COVID booster, like 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago.
You ever taken the pneumonia vaccine?
Yeah.
Gave me my COVID. They gave me my RSV, what's
RSV.
It called?
Yeah, I got that, too.
RSV. And also one other thing. Maybe it was the pneumonia. No, it wasn't pneumonia. It was my flu shot. Okay. COVID, flu, and I was so sick the next day, you couldn't believe it. You know, these three things do not work well together.
I've been switching from one to the other, like next week, instead of doing three of these things the same day.
Yep. You mean you do one of them totally once, and then a couple of weeks later you do another one, then you do another
one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, they didn't tell me at the drugstore where we got them.
Well, you should ask me.
You know, that you shouldn't do all of these at one time.
That's right.
Well, for most people, it's okay, but there are a good number of people who get a reaction like that.
Yeah, but older guys.
Well, Don's found a way to prevent himself from getting COVID. He never goes out.
Worked so far.
Really, you haven't gotten it, have you?
Nope.
I've had it three times.
Well, you're old.
Oh, I've had it three times.
Oh, and look who's talking.
I've had it seven times since 2020. I had it before they even announced it was a virus.
You've had it how many times?
Seven. I just, August. August was number seven, but you know something? After I took the second vaccine, I didn't catch it for 2 years.
Well, wait a minute, everybody. She lives in Florida, so.
Oh, no wonder.
It's illegal in Florida. You can't get COVID there.
Yeah, you can't get COVID down there. It's against the law.
Yeah. My body just had absolutely no tolerance to it. Like, you have pneumonia. I used to get pneumonia every year when I was a kid. I'd get a cold. It would go into bronchitis. It would go into pneumonia. I stopped catching it after I took my first pneumonia vaccine, like in my 20s or close to 30. No more pneumonia every year.
You know,
when did you get your pneumonia vaccine?
Well, I remember having checked it recently, and it was within. I was still within the time. So
in the past 3 or 4 years, they've come out with 2 new ones that cover more broader, different types of pneumonia.
I can't remember which one I got.
One's called Prevnar 15, and the other one's called Prevnar 20 or 21.
Well, which one's better, 20 or 15?
I don't know what I got.
Well, they're both good. Both of them cover some of the same and some of the different ones. So mm-hmm. The pneumonia is a lot of different lung infections. It's like the cold, and so, you know, except for it can kill you.
I hear about old people dying of pneumonia.
Oh, yeah.
Well, pneumonia can kill you. Colds don't kill you. So
if the liquid, yeah.
But if you're like Joy here, you can get pneumonia after a cold. And so on and so forth. So,
well, that's how I got it. It's from because of the flu.
Well, Giller, you wear masks everywhere, right? To this day, does anybody give you a bad time about that?
Only his wife in the house.
So I have a wife.
You didn't. He didn't even know he had a wife.
I don't care if people think. If people mock me, it's my health.
Don, I do the same thing. I go into drugstores, Costco, Safeway, the bank, and the post office, and I wear a mask everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm. I do too, and no one's ever mocked me. And if they did, I wouldn't give. How absurd! Like, you have no idea why someone's wearing a mask. Maybe they don't want to get other people.
Well, here's a good question.
If they're immune compromised, why would anybody?
What if they're immune compromised and they have to wear a mask? Like,
you know, when people say to me, you know, the government says you don't need to wear a mask anymore, I say to them, you don't look like my doctor.
If they make fun of
my business.
If they make fun of you, just cough on them.
All the time, if we were wearing a mask during COVID and we didn't go out a lot, I never got a cold. Did you?
No.
No.
You know? So maybe wearing the mask is one way of preventing yourself from getting colds.
Yes. Absolutely.
We wear masks at work.
What? Yeah, no, I haven't gotten sick since I started wearing a mask. That was in 2020.
Yeah. Of course, you got to be careful about shaking hands with people and things like that because, you know, the hands can...
Hand sanitizer.
Of course, you've got hand sanitizer.
He's got 7 gallons.
He probably has the 7-gallon model. Yeah, right. Oh, those, of course. What happened, I remember during COVID, when we would leave the house, we would put on the masks and then we put on the gloves. Right? Yeah. Everywhere we went, we wore gloves.
You know, the cute thing about the gloves is if you shake somebody's hand, now the gloves are dirty and you should change them.
Well, then it's not
as if you're gonna lick your gloves.
I got it.
Dirty to the people you're shaking hands with.
Quickly.
Wipe your nose or something.
Every time I walk into a doctor's office and he makes me sit in that room waiting for him, I steal some gloves. Why not? You know.
What size do you steal?
Medium size. Yeah. Yeah. I don't do the.
Yeah. The only place I take the mask off is at the dentist or periodontist.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That would be easier to work on your teeth that way, Don.
That way, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, also when you go to eat at a restaurant, right?
I don't do that either.
Well, how do you eat through a mask?
Well, I don't go out to restaurants.
Oh, right. Okay, all right.
Just go out.
I forgot you never leave the house. Okay. So we're meeting for lunch next week, right, aren't we?
That was the plan, except you don't want to do it.
What do you mean I don't want to do it? I'd love to spend some quality time with you, Giller. Giller, I have no friends.
That was a nice tribute to Shecky. I enjoyed that.
Oh, really? You did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Hey, listen, there's the theme. That's it for tonight. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Of course, always, Charlie. It's wonderful. Kevin, good to have you here. Ray, Joy, Jeff, Alan, and Don. Everybody actually participated tonight. So that was really good instead of just shutting up for the whole time. Anyway, we'll see you again maybe tomorrow night, same time. Okay? See you later, everybody. Give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you. There they go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Citizen Panel. Stay tuned now for Amy Manuel. She's here with The Intersection. She'll be right here taking your calls on Skype at GabNet Live. I'll see you again tomorrow night. Same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, you know what to do. Tell her I love her, okay? Good night, everybody.
This is a test for the next 60 seconds.